ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you think about the biggest waves on Earth, raw, powerful, scary, what comes to mind? Pipeline, Hawaii? Nazaré, Portugal, with that lighthouse watching over the monsters rolling in? Mavericks in California? Maybe Chopu in Tahiti? How about Ireland? The tiny seaside town of Mullaghmore is freezing, but it's becoming one of the hottest spots globally in big wave surfing. An unusual one today. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Sean Murphy is a journalist with the ABC and has dropped this just absolutely incredible story on Foreign Correspondent about Irish surfing. Sean, I want to start with Mullaghmore. Can you tell me about the waves of Mullaghmore?
Mullaghmore has become one of the premier big wave locations in the world. Surfers from all over the world, with the benefit of, you know, modern satellite forecasting, only need a day's notice and they can fly in for a new swell.
There's definitely a lot more eyes on Ireland just because the waves are so good here, and it's getting pretty busy out at some of the waves when they're really good. Like, people fly in from all over the world from Mullaghmore when it's on.
It's like a real travelling circus, you know. They all have jet skis as filming platforms and for safety, and the most incredible thing to see. The waves there really only start to break, you know, in the 3 metre range. Some of the people tow in. It's like they use the assistance of a jet ski to sling them into the wave. When waves get really big, up over, say, 30 feet, the sheer physics of them mean that you couldn't design and build a surfboard long enough to paddle in. So with jet skis, you know, you have the speed and velocity to get into the wave and then ride it on a shorter, more manoeuvrable craft. But for me, and the day we got there to film was a paddle-in day. It was more in the 10 to 20-foot range. The courage and skill involved in throwing yourself over the ledge and taking on one of those beasts under your own steam, having to set a line into the tube, is just unbelievable.
There's not many waves in the world like this, I suppose, like that you can paddle into a wave this big and get into a barrel that big. Like, a lot of the other big waves in the world, they're just big drops. Here's like full slab, like heavy tick. There's not many other places in the world you get it, so that kind of keeps everybody coming back.
The waves, looking at them on television, I mean, they're massive, they're cold, they're raw, they're uncrowded. Ireland's not traditionally been a place that the surfing community has maybe paid attention to, and you can hear from what you're saying there that has shifted. What's changed that, and how much has it got to do with Conor Maguire?
I think it's got more to do with social media, and particularly YouTube, because the content that they're filming can be, you know, up and out to the world, like in real time almost, you know. And so surfing in Ireland's not new. I mean, it's been a homegrown secret for decades, really, but now the world is discovering it. And surfers like Conor Maguire taking on some of the biggest monster waves on the planet have certainly enhanced its reputation. And that's why, you know, the traveling, it's not really a formal circuit, but I'll call it a circuit. The traveling circuit of big wave surfers have got it firmly on the map. There's also a second wave in Ireland. It's in County Clare, underneath the famous Cliffs of Moher, is a right-hander called Aileen's, a huge elite barrel. And, you know, surfers like Nathan Florence, the brother of the 3 times world surfing champion John Florence, his content goes to the world almost in real time, and that wave is now firmly on the map as well.
Irish are like famous for their hospitality. Surfing, that's a pursuit famous for localism. Does that make for an interesting dynamic, a tension point of this welcoming community with a pursuit that is traditionally not always that welcoming?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Ireland is the, you know, it's known as the Cead Míle Fáilte, the land of 100,000 welcomes. Interestingly, when you talk to Conor Maguire or Gerard McDade, you know, the two sort of big wave powerhouses there.
It's a bit different than everywhere else. The hospitality kind of shines through into the water as well. And luckily it stayed that way, and hopefully it does.
So I think there's a bit of Irish charm involved. You know, they charm their way into the top of the lineup, and the surfers who are visiting show a lot of respect. You're more likely to get a bit of tension and even aggression where the waves aren't as big. And some of the just near Mullet Moor, particularly around the town of Bundoran in Donegal, it's like Hawaii's Miracle Mile. There are so many fabulous elite waves, not the same degree of courage required. You still need the skill, but you're probably more likely to get a few heroes there who maybe are a bit rude and there may be some tension. I've been going there surfing now for 20 years. My brother has lived there for the last 26 years. I've never seen that sort of thing. If you go out in a lineup and you're cool and you just take your time, you sit back a bit, be patient, invariably they'll call you up and they'll go, come on, come over, come up here. And they'll call you up to the primo spot in the lineup and they'll even call you into a wave, you know. It's lovely surfing in Ireland for that reason, among many others.
The other thing I loved that you hit on in this story is the fascinating reality that the entire region is, you know, very close, Mullet Moor that is, to Northern Ireland. And it carries the history of being the home of an infamous IRA attack on British Royal Lord Mountbatten. And it was something else to see that famous castle in your pictures. And then again in the archive vision of that nasty incident. What can you tell us about the surf culture of that era and the way it sort of wrapped into the famous troubles and the interactions of even Protestants and Catholics on the surfing front?
Yeah, I guess like surfing's popularism emerged at the same time that the troubles were peaking in the early 1970s. There were a couple of guys in Dublin who were importing surfboards and selling them around the country. And it was, you know, it was in that around the rest of the world, it was sort of that free love generation, you know, hippies and, you know, dropout, all that sort of thing. So while you had this violence emerging at the same time, bombings and all sorts of carry on in Northern Ireland, you had this surfing culture emerge. But, you know, like I've talked to a few of the old fellas, you know, who were involved in that, and they say,
we wouldn't have known whether they were Catholic or fellas, nor did we give a damn. You know, we were just all surfing together. Religion doesn't come into surfing. You know, if you're a surfer, you're a surfer. That's your religion.
And that was the attitude there, you know. So they were exploring the waves in Ireland all together. There's, in the film, there's a great sequence from 1972 of a car convoy. You know, there's Mini Miners and Triumphs and the most strange-looking cars laden with surfboards all heading off exploring the countryside looking for new waves to ride.
Surfing is a sport that has traditionally been pretty macho. Women have found it a challenge to break through at times. How does that dynamic manifest in the surf culture for women in Ireland?
Look, it's emerging. Probably not to the extent that it has in Australia. I mean, now it's wonderful. And I've got two daughters who are both keen surfers. And if you go down to my local break at Bondi, for example, there are women out there all the time. It's wonderful. I think it's civilized the lineup. There's less overt aggression. In Ireland, because of the extremes, you know, it's taken a while for the girls to catch up, but there is an emerging generation. We interviewed Isabella O'Reilly, who at 14 has already won a national title, and she's got her sights firmly set on representing Ireland in the Olympic Games.
My dream is to one day make the CT.
That's the championship
and
tour.
Olympics. Yeah. Yeah.
And the Olympics.
Yeah.
And how hard will that be, do you think?
It will be very hard, like any other sport is, but a lot of hard work and determination.
She's being mentored by, I mentioned Barry Britton before, one of the old pioneers of surfing. His daughter, Eiske Britton, has won 5 Irish titles. So she's, excuse me, mentoring Isabella. Eiske says when she started surfing, she was the only person who surfed at her school.
It's really great to see. I think when I started to surf, I was lucky because I was born into it. And so I had always had family to follow into the water. But when I was at school, I was the only kid who surfed. Not just in my year, like in the entire school.
Now, you know, you see a few girls out there. Big waves, a little bit different. Although when we were at Mullet Moor, Justine Dupont, who's a French big wave surfer, was out there at the same time, and she gives it a big nudge.
This was, as you sort of touch on it, a deeply personal story for you because you know, your brother Wayne has been living there for 25 years plus, and it was so cool, the vision, to see the two of you at an uncrowded Irish break trading waves. Did it feel a particularly special story to be able to tell this one?
Oh, yeah, no, it was lovely. That's what I love, going and surfing in Ireland. That's what I love about it, being able to get off the beaten track with my brother, find some waves and some solitude together. I mean, that day it was funny. There were better waves nearby, and I was like gagging to get out at these waves, you know, at another break. And Wayne was saying, no, we've got to go to this place. He calls it the GA pitch because there's a football pitch nearby and it's his favourite wave. I just couldn't see the waves, but I'm so glad that I persevered and listened to him, because while the waves weren't that great, it was like the romanticism of it, just the two of us out there, it was beautiful. We shared a lovely moment. And, you know, okay, we're both men in our 60s. He's just coming back from a serious knee injury. We weren't exactly ripping, but we had fun.
Brother knows best. That's the message from that part of the story. Hey, it was such a cool story to see on Foreign Correspondent. Sean Murphy, thanks so much for sharing it with us here.
You're very welcome.
Hope you enjoyed that somewhat left-field story, but gee, fun, hey? Surfing in Ireland. Who'd have thought? Back with our proper program on Tuesday after the Easter long weekend. Look forward to catching you.